Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Yes, the recording has started, and those of you out in phone land, welcome to San Diego. And if I can do the teaching the way I want to do the teaching today, I can bring something from San Diego to you. So stay tuned, stay with us, let's see what happens on that. By the way, before the teaching begins, side note, yes, I'm in San Diego. Originally, I was from a small town outside of Buffalo, New York, so I know the differences in weather. And a friend of mine out here, a priest, he and I share stories with each other, and he had shared a story about this man doing research on churches across the country. Again, this is an introduction, not part of the teaching, but you'll enjoy it. It'll be like a snack. So he said this man came across the country, and he'd go to these churches. As he went to the churches, each church had this golden telephone. And he noticed the golden telephone, and there was a sign on it. Calls to God, $10 million. Okay, well, he didn't see a line of people there. I had my food stamps, but that wasn't enough. So this guy kept going across the country, and he got to San Diego. He saw the same phone, and there it was, off to the side. And he went up to the phone, and it said, calls to heaven, 25 cents. So he goes to the pastor and says, Pastor, you know, I've seen the same phone all over. And the pastor laughs and says, oh, yes, the phone, I'm sorry. He said, it's 25 cents because here it's a local call. Now, that's the story that the friend shared with me. Me being a teacher, I said to myself, wait a second, yes, that's a local call, yes, it's a story, yes, it's fun, yes, it's not true, but I thought to myself, how can I make it true? And think about it, whether I'm in Buffalo or Alaska or San Diego, it's a local call to God. I don't even need the 25 cents. And God will never hang up. The question will be, one, will I make the call? And two, will I stay on the line? Okay, that's your snack. Now for the teaching. Now, stay with me on the teaching today. As you can probably tell, I'm excited. And sometimes teachers see me in the morning and they ask how I am, and I say, do you really want to know? And they, no, thank you very much. Goodbye, have your coffee, do whatever, but thank you. But I'm excited because if I knew that this were my last day on earth, I'd want this teaching coming across to you. So that's how important it is in my heart to get this teaching across to you today. So let's see if I'm successful. There used to be this thing called like a Cracker Jack where they had the prize inside. And let's see if I'm successful in getting the prize inside. And if I am, a surprise outside. So if I'm successful, there should be a prize inside, a pretend box of or bag of or whatever those were, Cracker Jacks, and a surprise outside. So on that note, the title of my teaching is Paul, A Vision Forward and Back. Paul, A Vision Forward and Back. And we're going to start and end the teaching with three things. We're going to start and end with Paul, a vision, and a book, a children's book. So we're going to begin and end with Paul, a vision, and a children's book. Now, we know Paul in the Word of God, Paul was committed, he was disciplined, and he was driven. You can see that all throughout the Word of God, that was Paul, committed, disciplined, driven. In Philippians, Paul says, hey, if anybody's confident in the flesh, me, Paul, I, more. Now, he wasn't being cocky. He wasn't saying, forget you. He wasn't saying, look at me. He was speaking the truth because he wrote that book by revelation. He wrote those words. He saw himself. Hey, anybody else? Jewish, whatever? I am better. Better in the sense of what he did by adhering to the law. What do I mean? He says, hey, look, I was circumcised the eighth day. Check. I'm the stock of Israel. Check. I'm the tribe of Benjamin. Check. The tribe of Benjamin would be like a Kennedy or a Rothschild. That's how he saw himself. He said, check. Hebrew of Hebrews. Not only am I a Kennedy, I'm the top Kennedy. Not only am I Rothschild, I'm the top Rothschild. That was Paul, and even the roosters agree with me. And then he said, a Pharisee? A Pharisee. They were zealous for the law. They followed the law to the nth degree. He said, I'm the top Pharisee. Zeal? I persecuted the church. Blameless. In other words, you couldn't lay anything at my feet. I did it all. I'm Paul. And he wasn't like Superman. He just said, that's me. I followed it to the 10th degree, the letter of the law. Okay, that's the introduction of Paul and his vision. Now let's look at that children's book that I told you about, which I did not tell you the title. The title of the children's book is The Blind Men and the Elephant. The Blind Men and the Elephant. Now this is a book about, it's from India, and it's got their moral fiber to it in the sense of these blind men came up to an elephant, but they couldn't see it. Robert, why couldn't they see it? They were blind. Thank you, Robert! All right, they were blind. They couldn't see it because they were blind. But they came up to the elephant, well, there's the elephant, and they began to touch it, feel it. So they felt it. And one guy says, hey, wait a second. He had the tail. He says, this elephant, you know, somebody says, uh-oh. Well, nothing happened. Nothing. It comes out okay. The story. It comes out okay. That's the minister's wife, by the way, who said, uh-oh, just to let you know, in telephone land. So he touches the tail, and he goes, wait, this animal, whatever it is, it's like a rope, a strong rope. The other guy says, no. He's got the trunk. He's, ooh, the trunk is like a slippery snake. And the other guy says, no. He's got the feet. He goes, no, this animal is like a tree, big and strong. And the other guy says, no. He had the tusk. He said, this animal is like a pipe, a smooth, thick, solid pipe. And the other guy says, no. He said, this is like a fan. And he was touching the what? The ear. He touched the ear and said, it's like a fan. And the other guy says, no. He said, this is like a wall. And he was touching the side of the elephant. Now, they each walked away saying yes to themselves. It's the tail, it's the fan, it's the ear, it's the feet. But they could not nor would not believe the other people in terms of what they perceived by their feeling. So they walked away, not empty-handed, but only with the perception that they had. They said, this animal is a fan, or a tree, or a rope, or a... They walked away because they could not allow themselves to go outside the truth that they knew to be. Keep that in mind for Paul. Now, let's take another look at Paul. We said he was committed. We know that. He was disciplined. We know that. He was driven. We know that. So much. Paul says, you know what? He says, taking the zeal of a Pharisee, this vision, Galatians said that beyond measure, Paul persecuted. Beyond measure. I love looking at little things. Why does it say beyond measure? Think about it. Your gas tank. When you fill your gas tank, you get to a point, and you get to the full, you can't fill it anymore. My kids from school, they get 100% on a spelling test. You can't get higher than 100%. Yes, you might get bonus, but the point is 100 is 100. You go to a five-star restaurant. You can't get 7. You can't get 9. You can only get 5. That's the highest. You can get lowest, but you can't get more. He said beyond measure he persecuted the church, the people, you, like that. The Gentiles, he persecuted. But not only did he persecute, it says he wasted. Now, this wasting doesn't mean like wasting food. Like, you know, think of the starving children somewhere. No. Wasting means he knocked them off. He killed them. And that says he was more exceedingly zealous. More exceedingly zealous. Okay. More exceedingly zealous. Zealous. Listen to the last one. Zealous means ardently active, intense devotion, full of burning fire. Whoa, full of burning fire. That was Paul, full of burning fire. In the book of Acts, it talks about breathing out threatenings and slaughter of men and women. Talk about an equal opportunity employer. Men and women. He's not talking about giving them a merit badge, he's talking about giving them a goodbye. And that's what he did because he was committed to the law. He was holding the elephant by the tail or by the ear. He saw only that part of it. That was Paul. You know what? His crowning achievement was the stoning of Stephen. The stoning of Stephen. As that occurred, there's Stephen, and there they are, the people who stoned him, laying their cloaks at the feet of a man called Saul of Tarsus. That was Paul. Before he came, Paul. They laid their cloaks at his feet. and he watched them. And what did Stephen do? He looks up and he sees Jesus Christ standing. Every other reference to Jesus Christ, it's seated at the right hand of God in a position of authority. Here he's standing. And commentaries say standing in defense of Stephen, standing in a state of war for Stephen. That's how Stephen saw Jesus Christ. Well, let's go ahead and fast forward. And Stephen says, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Let's fast forward to Paul on the road to Damascus. You've heard about people having a Damascus experience. Well, he did. Paul's blinded. And he says, hey, who are you? And Christ says, it's hard for you to push against the pricks concerning Jesus Christ. So he's blinded now for 3 days. No food, no water, 3 days. Now, picture yourself. You're out there knocking people off, arresting them, doing everything else. All of a sudden, you can't see, like the blind man and the elephant. You can't see. What did he do? He couldn't go for a walk in the woods. Could you imagine bumping into the tree? He didn't eat. Even when he went to the bathroom, he didn't know where the bathroom was. He had to have somebody take him there. And washing his hands, he had to have somebody show him where the faucet was for washing his hands. 3 whole days. Blind. This driven man, who had technically, if you will, by the law, had the elephant by one part, now, in 3 days, the very next person he sees is Ananias. Ananias opens the door. And by the way, God told Ananias, hey, go speak to this guy. And Ananias says, hey, God, you know, have you been sleeping? He didn't say that exactly, but in other words, this guy knocks us off. God says, hey, he's my chosen vessel. Take care of it. So Ananias opens the door, and here's the key. He opens the door. He doesn't say, Saul, at this point, hey, sit down, take a load off, take your hat off, let me open your eyes, let me put some liquid in. No, he doesn't do that. The very first words that Saul hears from Ananias, brother Saul. In those 3 days, to call him brother Saul, he had become a Christian. Because for him to call him brother, he had to have believed in Christ, that Christ died, and that God raised him. In those 3 days, that driven nature, I mean, keep in mind, Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the finest school in the world at that point, like a Harvard, like a West Point. My understanding is from checking references of him, that he had two doctoral degrees by the time he was 21 years of age. This was Paul. This man was driven. He was learned. He had all the badges of knowledge that you could have. So that was Saul. Brother Saul. He became a believer. All right. Now, he is walking the Christian walk. He's the same Saul who became Paul. The same zeal. The same dedication, the same quarterback, he just switched sides, right? He just switched, and he saw the whole elephant. Before, he only had part of it, the law. But in the Word of God, it says the law can't save you. That's why Christ came. The law can't do it. You can be as lawful as you want. I don't mean in terms of keeping this law, but keep the law of the church in that regard. But he said, I see the whole thing. And he went out with that same zeal to capture the hearts of people, not capture Christians in terms of jail, but to capture their hearts. That was Paul. By the way, he's speaking to King Agrippa. Picture, there he is, King Agrippa. And we know that he talked to King Agrippa, and he was defending himself. And at the end, King Agrippa says, almost you've convinced me to be a Christian. Now just think if I went up to my wife before I married her and said, I almost want to marry you. I don't think she'd be standing there very long. I don't think I'd be standing there very long. She'd run over my head with her feet, and that'd be the end of it. I'd have a foot mark on my head. Almost, thou hast persuaded me. But see, the thing that I look at, I love little details. That's what happened at the end of the interrogation or the speaking forth of Paul with King Agrippa. He said almost. But before he said almost, at the very beginning, King Agrippa was like, indifferent. Okay, come on up, Paul. Let's hear what you got to say. Partway through it, King Agrippa says, Paul, you're full of new wine. And I said, full of new wine. He might have been thinking of full of something else, but he said, full of new wine. And Paul said, hey, no way. This is the truth, the Word of God. So at the beginning, King Agrippa was indifferent. Yeah, come on up, speak. Okay, there you go. Next, he says, oh, you're full of new wine. No. Finally, gets to the point. Almost, you've convinced me to be a Christian. Now, we don't know if he ever became a Christian or not. We won't know to the day of judgment. He'll either go before Jesus Christ, that he did become a Christian, because he certainly heard enough, or he'll go before the great white throne of judgment because he chose not to believe. That's yet to be seen. We don't know. That's between God and King Agrippa. But Paul was there. At that point, Paul saw the whole elephant. King Agrippa saw parts of it, but not the whole elephant. We don't know if he ever accepted the whole elephant. I mean, not that you accept the whole elephant, but the point is, we don't know if he ever accepted Christ. I'm not calling Christ an elephant. Okay. Here's Paul. Paul, in Corinthians, he says, hey, guys, of the Jews, like of my own people, of my own family, they beat me 5 times with whips. 5 times. 5 times they got beaten with whips that his back did not look like a pretty back. But most people died after 1 time. He survived 5. He's by my own people. Catch that. Not by somebody out there, by the people that I know, they put me up 5 times, 40 stripes. 3 times beaten with a rod. 3 more times shipwrecked, stoned. I'm counting that. 12 times these severe things happened. 12! I counted 12 of them. Oh my gosh. And then 8 more times with perils. Perils at sea, perils of countrymen, perils of robbers, perils. A total of 20 times he had these things happen to him. And they're not very nice things happening to him. I thought to myself, 20 times, and that's not even counting the cold and the nakedness. I thought, good gosh, I'd hate to be his insurance agent. I mean, can you imagine him going on a trip on a cruise and saying, I want to buy some travel insurance. Let me check your record. 20 times you've been beaten, some shipwrecked up in the deep for a day. Can you imagine the premium he had to pay? I get weird sometimes. So there's, I thought, perils. He had perils here, perils there, perils. I thought my wife has a shirt, a blouse, a pretty one. It says, shoes make the difference. Just ask Cinderella. So I thought, Paul should get a shirt that says, now keep in mind, I'm kind of twisty with my humor. Paul should get a shirt that says, no pearls here, like pearls, like pearl necklace. No pearls here, but lots of perils. Now, I don't know if people are going to buy that shirt, but it certainly represents Paul. It's like, oh, my gosh. If he asked me to go on a trip with him, I don't know. I mean, yes, yeah, but it's, wow, you know, look at Paul. But he shared the word of God. He saw the whole elephant. Now, he finally went to God and said, God, 3 times he went to God and said, can you take away these thorns, these things that are happening? And God said, my grace is sufficient unto thee. 3 times he went to God. The phone, remember that golden phone? He went to God. God answered the phone. He called. It didn't cost him 25 cents. It was a free call. He went. He made the call. And God told him, sorry, Charlie. No, God said, my grace is sufficient. God wasn't sorry. God just said, you walk through it, and I will be with you. I am the whole elephant. Get it? Okay. You know, I thought, again, another twisty thing. Here's Paul. If anybody could claim victimhood, it could be Paul. I mean, come on. Look, badge of, you know, stripes and hits and stoned and dead. And he could claim victimhood. And when I see those things like that Jesse Smollett guy and all those things happening, these different groups happening, talk about victimhood. Yeah, they claim victimhood. Paul would make them look like a piper. I mean, a piker. I mean, come on. There's nothing compared to what Paul himself went through. And yet he didn't claim victimhood. Side note, I'm putting this in here. Just take it in your heart. I heard somebody minister the other day. He said, when one nation under God, and we're the only country in the world that has that in our Constitution, when one nation under God becomes one nation apart from God, expect consequences. I mean, you can't run on fumes and not have your cars die. We're the ones who closed off the gas tank. God's there. His gas tank's full. We have to have ours open. When one nation under God becomes one nation apart from God, expect consequences. All right. I loved it in the sense of, that's why when Bob said pray, yeah, spiritual warfare, pray, we need to. And like Bob said, vote. Yeah, we need to vote. Why do I say that? Just, again, side note, 25, Bob gave numbers out for that prayer march, and I was very thankful for it. And I watched the thing, the prayer march. I wish I could have been there. Yes, it may have been 100,000, 50,000, 100, but the last election, 25 million evangelicals, people who believe in God, not the ones who don't believe in God, just evangelicals, 25 million sat home. Yeah, God says pray, spiritual battle, and stand. So just stand. So that's my side note there. Paul. Remember, we start with Paul, a vision, and a book. Paul. He wrote 13 of the books of the New Testament, more than any other writer. Now listen to what happens with Paul. You talk about the elephant. Paul, in Galatians, the first book he wrote, he says, hey, Paul, an apostle. Okay, I like that, Paul, an apostle. That's in Galatians. Stay with me. Paul, an apostle. 7 years later, he's writing in the book of Corinthians, I, Paul, am the least of the apostles. Paul, an apostle, 7 years later, I'm the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle. Whoa, this is Paul, wrote 13 books, more than any writer in the whole Bible. That was Paul. He said, I'm an apostle. 7 years later, I'm the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle. Tick-tock time, 8 years more. He writes Ephesians. Unto me, who am the least, who am less than the least of all saints. Whoa, he goes from Apollo. I'm sorry, he goes Paul, an apostle, to the least of the apostles, now fit to be an apostle. And then he says unto me, less than the least of all saints. All the saints, I'm the least of all of them. That's Paul. Last book he wrote before he died. Remember I said today, if I had one last teaching, I'd want this to be it today. The last thing that he wrote concerning himself in the Word of God, again, apostle, least of the apostle, not fit to be an apostle, least of the saints, last thing, last view, last vision, before you see the whole elephant, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Now, he's right. He's true. He knows that. He saw Christ. I never saw him. He did. Then he got blind, then he got unblind, and then he saw the whole elephant. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, drum roll ready, of whom I, Paul, am chief. Went from apostle to the chief sinner of the world. I mean, come on, you can't make that stuff up. And he didn't make that up. That book I'm telling you about, the blind men and the elephant, that's a fable. This is real. Those blind men did not accept anything beside their one truth. King Agrippa did not accept anything beside that one truth, that one piece of that elephant. Paul had the whole elephant, and he presented it. He believed it. He switched sides. He was still the star quarterback for the right team. And being the star quarterback for the right team went from an apostle to the chief sinner. Somebody had said this, and I loved it. And I said, I got to put this in. Talk about a fireworks, and you get the finale of the fireworks, because we're at the ending here. The finale of the fireworks. Somebody had said, and just see how this fits with this elephant. Put a crown on this elephant. The closer we get, I'm going to say this twice, three times, because it's this. The closer we get, that's second. The closer we get, that's three. The closer we get to the standard. In this case, the standard is Jesus Christ. The closer we get to the standard, Jesus Christ, the more we realize how far short of that standard we are. Listen again. The closer we get to the standard, Jesus Christ, the more we realize how far we fall short of that standard. Remember Martin Luther? By grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul, chief apostle, went to the chief sinner, and he wrote by revelation. That was Paul. So, I I just think, what a remarkable situation to look at Paul, his vision at the beginning, blue blood, Hebrew of Hebrews, Kennedy, Rothschild, here I am, blameless, circumcised, day to day, check, 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 check. He threw it all out and he called it dung, dung. Talk about the elephant in the tail and the minister's wife saying, uh-oh. Well, Paul said all of the things that I have are dung, like that's horse manure. Think of elephant manure, a little bit bigger. But the point is manure. He pushed it all aside. Well, he didn't push with his hands, but, you know, he kicked it with his feet. The point is, he said, no, this is dung compared to my belief in Jesus Christ. And I, Paul, am the greatest sinner. I loved seeing the digression of his vision in terms of realizing his heart, but the bigness of the heart realizing that the closer he got to loving God more, the more he saw that he was less and Christ is the standard. We can't work our way in. It's only what Jesus Christ did that gives us that salvation. Paul had been trying with the law, but the law can't do it. Jesus Christ did. That's the ticket. That's the elephant. And Jeannie Linfield, are you around here? Oh, yes, Jeannie Linfield. That's the one who talked about, with the tail for the elephant. Jeannie Linfield, did we get the prize for the Cracker Jack?
Yes, and that prize is Christ living in us, too.
Did you all hear that in Radio Land? I'm sorry, in TV, on the telephone hookup. Say that again a little louder.
The prize was, we now represent Jesus Christ.
We now represent Jesus Christ. And seeing that you're up, would you like to come up here?
Sure.
Did you hear that hesitation? Sure. Now, Jan's sitting there saying, boy, I'm glad it's Jeannie and not me. Is that what you're thinking, Jan? No, she's shaking her head. All right. Could you do me a favor and just hold that for a second, and then if you can come to the microphone a little bit. I promised you a prize and something else. Does anybody remember what it was? A prize and a surprise. A surprise. The prize had to be on the inside, and the surprise had to be on the outside. So with me today, I said you're going to take something away, and even you and the phone land, stay with me, because this is going to affect you. Because I was thinking of how can I do this. So I did it. So let's see what happens. Jeannie said yes, the Cracker Jack got fulfilled because Jesus Christ is our answer. Thank you. So,
okay. This is your moment. Yes, that's why you're made. You're made for being here. I know you're a little bit nervous, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. Stay with me.
Talk about the elephant. We now I know you can't see it in the phone land, but we have an elephant here, and this is an elephant that has all the things I talked about, the tail, the ears, the sides, the feet, the trunk, all these different things. This is an elephant, and I took this elephant on one side. I don't know, Jeannie, can you read what it says?
Grace.
Grace. So on grace on one side, and something usually goes along with grace all the time. What, Dagmar, do you know what that might be? It starts with an M. Grace and mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy, all right, she's got it. Give her a hand. All right, mercy. Sorry, I put you on the spot there. Grace, and yes, sure enough, we've got mercy. Paul was the same quarterback. He switched sides. Same quarterback, same love of God, not following the law, but going beyond the law with Jesus Christ. Paul had a heart for God. Remember that golden telephone I told you about? Paul had a golden heart. See, that's why I love teaching. I love teaching because Paul had a golden heart. Now, here's his golden heart and the elephant, and Paul got the whole elephant, and everybody here today is going to get an elephant. You can do what you want with it. It's your elephant. You can pull the tail, pull the ear, bring it with you, let it be by your bedside. It's your elephant. You can do whatever you want with the elephant. It's your elephant. Now, those in phone land, the only way you can get yours, and by the way, for you to get yours, you're going to get an extra surprise because what you'd have to do, you can't email, you have to snail mail a request to Bob Linfeld. You just give him your address and say, I want that elephant. So, but you can't email. And see, I can't return it with email because if I stick the elephant through the email, then it'll get all stuck and talk about stuff coming out. It won't be pleasant. All right, Jeannie, I can stay there because there's something special for Jeannie here today too. All right, now. So everybody's going to get an elephant, and for the people in phone land, for you to get your elephant, you have to write to Bob, snail mail, post service, and say, hey, can I have the elephant? Your address will be there, and I'll make sure you get your elephant and another surprise because you did all that by snail mailing. So, okay, could you you do me a favor and hold this guy? Now, Jeannie and Vicky and Jan are three people that help the ministry a lot. They do a lot of the hard work in the ministry. And I know their husbands do, I mean, a lot too. I'm not putting them aside. I'm just saying they do a lot. So I thought to myself, what can I do that will be extra special for them? So I said, I've got to do something. So I came up with an idea. This is a bigger block of wood. Now, that'd be nice, but if I just give that to her, Jeannie, do you think she's going to want just this piece of wood? You can all say no. No.
Right.
No. Jeannie speaks for herself.
So I decided to come up with something very special.
Oh. Okay. Now, this is, how many elephants, Jeannie?
Three
elephants. And they go from bigger to smaller. And the point is, Robert's crying out there. Thank you, Robert. The point is, see, I love his laugh. All right. The point is, as I'm touching the tusk, three elephants inside a tusk, they go from bigger to smaller because the closer you get to God, the smaller your troubles become.
Amen.
Amen. So be it. Yes. So Jeannie and Jan and Vicky are going to get this special surprise. They're going to get to take this home. And you can do whatever you want. You adopt it. You name it. You color it. You paint it. It's up to you. It's your elephant. It's your tusk. For these three lovely, beautiful ladies who do all the work with the ministry there, they're each going to get the three elephants that go from bigger to smaller, because the closer you get to God, the more you see your problems getting smaller. And so this goes to you, if you would. This comes back here. Now, last thing. I said, I love that, because we talked about that Cracker Jack thing, and I remember them as a kid, but they used to make them. Yeah, some people are saying that. By the way, you know what? Everybody can come and pick their own. Look at, for example, you're going to pick your own. I call this one. I mean, these are all kids in school. I let the girls always go first. They pick what they want. This first one, I call it the finger of God. Now watch. Jeannie's going to see this, and then I'll try to show it to you. I call this one the finger of God. Do you see something in there?
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, the finger.
It's in the grain.
It's in the grain of the wood. You probably can't see it, but I said, wait, that's like the finger of God. There's a finger. So somebody's going to come and pick this one up.
So Dan's made all these.
Right, I'm right. Sorry. Thank you. That's right. Believe me, it took 2 weeks.
Sleep.
It took 2 weeks. And when I got this idea, it was another several days. But look at the difference. The girls love getting these because it's chocolate to them or caramel. So there's all kinds of different. You pick the one that wants to call your heart to go home with you. Right? So, so that's all going to happen. Everybody's going to pick one in phone land. You're going to get yours, and you're going to get this with it.
Because.
She saw it. You will have a choice of Cracker Jacks or Cracker Jacks, or the prize inside, and the prize inside, as Jeannie said, is what?
Christ
in you. The hope of glory is inside. Now, he's not in here. He's in you. But when you eat this, you'll even be a bigger Christ in you person, because you'll have this inside you, and that's what makes it special. The people on the phone line, again, I can't crunch it through here. Rush Limbaugh does that when he's talking. But the point is, if you get it, the thing you have to do is write by snail mail to Bob, give me your address, and I'll make sure you get the Cracker Jacks. And by the way, you can pick either box or bag, and you're going to get the elephant and a special surprise that I haven't announced. And my wife is shaking her head like, okay, you've done it. Amen. We've got it. So give yourselves a big hand of applause for being here. Thank you very much.